Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday. Not even hump day yet, but still plenty to talk about as Barry is here, Nick is here, and I am here. We are all present and accounted for. That means your day has just gotten a whole hell of a lot better because the usual suspects are front and center and present and accounted for. That means you should be too, and you will be joining us throughout the show as we continue to spin on through what's going on in sports and other things. What's up, fellas?
Spin it. Spin it. What's up?
I thought for maybe just 1 second that I forgot that you guys might be at Constellation Field only because Dylan Raheel.
I heard that. I was like, uh-oh.
We're on remote. I'm like, wait a second.
Did I not get a memo?
Now, the whole show was supposed to be there, right? But was it only Dylan Raheel that were out there?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because
you
I
mean
noticed
the whole show or the whole station?
Well, no. I know that in the more they build it as John and Raheel and Dell and everybody would be at Constellation Field. But then when I was listening after taking Taylor to school, I didn't hear Lance and John out there, at least not initially. I heard Raheel out there and then Dell eventually was out there. Now, I know that Sox Zuerlein is sliding around the hallways in a Skeeter's cap. So maybe at some point he made his way out there after his 18 different satellite appearances on NFL Network.
You think he did? Did he? I mean, he did go out there?
Either that or he had one of his minions bring him back a hat. I don't know. You're thinking that's what happened?
I would vote that Lance isn't going to drive out there and drive back. If he drove out there, he's going home. Somebody brought him a hat.
He was probably out late last night celebrating.
What's celebrating one?
Oh. The news at the other station.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He might have probably tied
Joel's been celebrating. Joel is the one who's been celebrating popping bottles.
No,
with that news.
No, not popping bottles, but definitely I believe in karma. I'll leave that there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So do tell. Do we need to tell the people what's going on?
Oh, no. Fred and AJ pretty much covered everything last night. Yeah, on the way home.
I didn't. I guess I missed them covering it.
Yeah, they basically explained what happened over at 790. Okay. And the fact that the quarrel between Josh Ennis and Adam Clanton continued to the point where after they were warned repeatedly to stop the nonsense, that they didn't, and one got suspended and one got let go.
I feel like that's going to happen to us.
We don't fight like that. I mean, it's like
you don't build
up, just like you build up the me and AJ thing.
But oh, y'all hate the day, each other. Yeah, like I'm wondering when you guys are going to get suspended.
The funny thing was because I heard what they were saying on the way out, and they were talking about everything. And, you know, Fred basically called AJ the Josh Ennis of our station.
Oh!
Yeah.
Really?
And that, you know, they brought up...
So you're the Clanton?
No. But he did say...
He's like, I'll fight you.
But, yeah, because he did say, he was like, well, you know what? And AJ goes, oh, my God, if that happened over here, I'd have been in trouble. So And he called everyone else lineup scrubs.
Okay.
He goes, I bash all the lineup scrubs.
Yeah.
But then Fred was like, no, you bash Joel. And then he was like, yeah, you know, you and Joel go back and forth. And they said, well, you know what would happen? He goes, well, God, that could be something where I would have gotten in trouble for that. And Fred goes, no, David Gal would have said, Joel, stop talking about AJ. But because you're the Josh Ennis of the station, you would have been allowed to say whatever you want.
That's probably true. I feel like that's the case. I feel like John and Lance could get away with whatever they wanted. Fred and AJ can get away with whatever they wanted. Charlie can get away with whatever he wants.
Because he'll never do anything.
But you and me and Dell and Raheel are not able to get.
I feel like we kind of go pretty far, though. I mean, we go
I'm talking about, I mean, we go far, like, crossing the line on radio. But I'm saying, like, fighting interpersonal. Like, if they were to start picking people off, it's not going to be those guys. It's going to be us. They don't like us as much. Like, we're the low men on the totem pole.
Joel doesn't want to believe that. Joel.
Why are you continually talking for me today?
Because I'm not talking for you today.
Yeah, you brought up the whole I was popping bottles, too. But I mean,
you were dancing when you heard the news.
No, I didn't believe it was true when Barry got the message. And then when Lance came in here to tell us.
Were you not doing this?
We were a lot. There was a look. I don't think that it needs to be public consumption, but there was a lot of people that were more than pleased because of the fact that they have stab wounds in their back over the years.
Okay. Oh,
well.
Yeah, and there's a lot of damage that's been done, and when you don't do it man-to-man, face-to-face, you do it behind people's backs and underlying circumstances, eventually it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Kitty's got claws.
No, there ain't no kitty about that. The kitty is the one that does it behind people's backs. So, you know, for whatever reason, you never want to see anybody lose their job. But... There's another shakeup going on over there. And I don't think that look, we've said this from day one. We didn't know each other coming in.
Yeah.
But I don't think, and I didn't know AJ till I got here. I didn't know Fred. I didn't know all these guys. But, you know, we're still at the end of the day we're one big family.
We're a team.
Yeah. And look.
We fight like brothers.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say.
You and AJ fight like brothers.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, like. We pick on each other and we tease and we joke and everything, but at the end of the day, this is a team and a partnership and a group, and yeah.
I think the cool thing is if anybody's in danger or anybody's got an emergency or a situation that pops up, we got each other's backs all the way across the board. And that's 94-1 too. That's sports map. That's culture map.
No,
you're not going that far.
You're not
going
to.
I'm not helping
that,
Charlie. If I pass Charlie on the side of the road, he's broken down.
Yeah,
and it's. Heavy traffic. People are speeding by, and he's trying to change a tire. And you know he probably can't get the lug nut off. He's a 7.5 shoe size. He probably can't loosen the lug nuts.
Yeah.
So if I saw that, I'd probably just keep driving.
I was going to say the guy behind me was going to rear end me, and I slid into the emergency lane and took him out. I thought that's where you were going.
No, I would just pass. I'm just kidding. I would help Charlie. Of course I would. I love Charlie. You're the one that seems like
Charlie
you don't
and I
like
get
Charlie.
Along. All we've got along for 2 months.
I really thought that while I was gone at one, I think you should spice it up a little bit. You should update the road to, like, you should have Charlie on.
Okay, when you need a replacement, you go to him first, and then we'll go from there. I think
I would have Charlie on. I usually
just
end up getting Jerome.
We used three different guys during your time away, and every one of them was good. We had good shows.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good.
Three's enough.
Okay.
I don't need a starting five. I don't need a rotation. I've got enough with what I got. I don't need I've got Verlander and Keuchel and McCullers.
I think you should
add
Charlie. I would love to see you and Charlie for 3 hours.
Well, you can see it anytime you want when you look at the stream, I guess. But I would love to see you and Charlie for 3 hours.
You know, Nick, I'm going to put you on blast.
Go ahead.
You should have. I asked you to create that account for us so I could monitor that, and you didn't.
What account?
I feel like I have no say around here, no pull.
The email?
Yeah.
I
can't even log in and check it. I registered it on the stream because I want to be able to chat with the peeps. Because if you go, it's live now, right? Like, we're live.
So this is up and official?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
They said yesterday on the Blitz, that is the one part that I did hear, that it's live and official now. That's why the table's in here, because we're not allowed to have our drinks on the desk because people might see it. And it's free advertising. So we're not doing that. So we're live now. It's
Fred,
official.
There on his tweet this morning for SportsMap mentioned the fact that we are live.
Well, like if you go to ESPN975.com.
Okay.
There should be a link for the live stream.
That's right.
What I'm told. I'm told that. I'm looking for it right now. I'm going to see. I don't see it.
So there's just another avenue to reach out and touch us and be a part of the show when we can figure out how that works. But you know how things go. We also have plenty of avenues already in place. The HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And you are the usual suspects, so therefore you can participate, and we will do our best to respond as we continue to roll on. So we'll get things started here and take you all the way till 4 o'clock. So fasten your seatbelts and away we go. Before we go any further, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time because, you know, Mac's been a staple of Houston for a long, long time. And he's got three locations now to better serve you as he tries to make sure that when you need furniture, you go to Gallery Furniture. You can go to Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. You can go to the Galleria right across from Dillard's on Post Oak. Or you can go to the mainstay, I-45 North exit, Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which one of the three locations you hit up, you're going to get the same customer service. You're going to get the same friendly sales staff that's going to identify what you are looking for, what style of furniture you want, and then put you in the right rooms to see the right choices so you get the right stuff for your house. It's Stickley and brands like that that make the most sense for you because they're American-made. They're solid wood furniture. Leather upholstered, it doesn't matter. They're going to last. And everything that Mattress Mac and his staff says is exactly what they're going to do when you hear the commercials across the city. That means if you buy today, you get it tonight within 3 to 4 hours. That's just the way they do business. No backorder slips. No waiting for weeks on end trying to get what you ordered, and in the meantime, having holes in the rooms in your furniture where your furniture should be but isn't. And always, always, always remember that Mattress Mac says what he believes, what he is going to do, and that is Gallery really will save you money.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects at ESPN 97.5. Rockets don't play till tomorrow night against the Jazz. Found it interesting that Mark Berman asked Jay Crowder what strategies they've noticed in looking at film about James Harden, and he said, "I'm not telling you that." He's like, "People listen to this, and they'll know what we're." And good for him. I think that sometimes people think that you have to tell the media everything, and you really don't.
Yeah, it's funny. It reminds me of when Alex Bregman was talking about his at bat. I believe it was against Chris Sale, and he was talking about. He did something like he stepped out of the box and shook his head because the fastball came and he thought if he showed that they would throw him another one. Like he tricked him, he baited him into the pitch, stepped back in the box, they threw him another and he hit a home run. And then people were like, "Well, that's great, bro, but don't tell your secrets. Like don't say those things." So yeah, I could see that. I wouldn't be out there giving away secrets or details.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like I said, and Nick, you know this because you covered the teams on a daily basis. The biggest thing is that the media is everywhere now, and especially come playoff time, they come in droves, and they have expectations like whatever they ask, you have to answer. I think Westbrook's one of those old school guys that's going to get a little bit crotchety and pissed off, and he's going to lash out sometimes. But a lot of times, too, that's a tactic that's used because they figure if they lash out once and scare you away, you'll never come and bother them again. Otis Thorpe taught me that my first day with the Rockets. And it's worked in a lot of cases. But you see it now where they come in droves. We saw it with Otani and the Asian media that just follows him around like they used to do with Yao. But overall, they have expectations. And it's not just to get a story. It's like you're supposed to answer everything that they ask. And some things you should be able to stand up for yourself and say that's not none of your business.
Yeah, I'm not giving you away. I'm not giving away my trade secrets or anything else. So, not happening.
So a lot of people made a big thing. It's crazy, but when you have a New York based team, the media circus and the buildup becomes greater. As we all know, the Yankees in town to face the Astros for the first time since the American League Championship Series, and boy oh boy, yeah, I know it's only one game, and it was only the last day in April. But a nice showing by your Astros as they continued their streak of wins against the Yankees at Minute Maid.
Uh-huh.
And Charlie Morton was on his game. And let me get, before you get any further, your guy at the end looked pretty good last night.
Man, he was on point. And he's been on point for a while now. Don't just sleep on the fact that it was one outing for Ken Giles.
No, but I'd say some of the mop-up work early
that doesn't matter.
In big leads gave him
Joe
some more
Smith
confidence.
Is getting mop-up work,
that's
and he's
guy,
not delivering.
Though. That's your guy.
Who?
Joe Smith.
No, I'm just saying he's getting mop-up work, and he's not utilizing it properly. Ken Giles has a 180 ERA right now. Don't be hating on old Kenny.
I'm giving credit where credit is due. As much as I've been critical of Ken Giles, last night was impressive, especially because he didn't face the end of the Yankees lineup, the bottom of the lineup. He faced the meat of the order, and he didn't walk anybody. He didn't give up any hits. He attacked.
How many earned runs do you think Ken Giles has given up this year?
Here we go again. I don't need to get into all this.
Two.
I'm just telling you that he looked good last
night. Two in the first three games and none since April 6th.
I am not alone, by the way. There is a ton of people out there that have the uneasy feeling when he would come into games. Last night, if that's the first step in setting a new tone for this team and his performances, amen to that,
he
brother.
He was dealing, and you could tell that, I don't know, it felt different even when he was out there. He was on it. I mean, when he was hitting 100, but he was mixing in that slider at 88, that's almost not fair. And, that was good to see. You need that. You definitely need an anchor at the back end of that bullpen. Does that mean Ken Giles isn't going to blow up the rest of the year? No. Of course, he's Ken Giles. He's gonna have his moments where he goes through, where he has issues and bad stretches. But it was good to see him out there, and that's two saves in a row now for him in two outings. He got a save against the Angels back on April 25th. 5 days later, he gets another save against the Yankees. So that's a good start.
I mean, the big thing is, look, they stopped a 9-game Yankees winning streak. Everybody was calling them the hottest team in baseball. And the thing is over these four games, you just want a barometer of where you are as opposed to where you were a year ago. Because as the Astros have said, and I love the mantra they have in the clubhouse, they are not worried about anything in the past. And it's now all about how they're going forward. Well, going forward after one game against the team that they faced in the American League Championship Series, they were very impressive. And we'll continue to see how the rotations stack up because that's advantage Astros. And then we'll see how that big bat lineup stacks up against the steady throughout 1-9 lineup of the Astros from an offensive perspective.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too, that Judge was not in the lineup to start the game. And all I could find was it was just a day off. He was just resting. So they were saying it had nothing to do with the fact that he was in a mini slump or had been like 2 for his last 12 or anything like that. He was just just getting a day off. So found that interesting that happened against the Astros, which I thought would be a bigger game. But by the way, there it is. Okay, I was gonna say I can't find the live stream, but actually, if you go to the front page of ESPN975.com and scroll down a little bit, mm-hmm. It's right there in the top left corner. So.
I don't think people realize that if you want to participate in this show, you have to have the unified glasses.
Yeah, I also don't like the angle that you currently have it on, Nick. This close-up camera?
Close-up of your face.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Why not?
It's just a weird angle.
You're going to have to ask them to move the camera, sir. I didn't make that decision.
Just keep it on the straightaway camera.
Well, you're
directing. I don't think he has
now?
To ask anybody. Based on what he did yesterday, he's just grabbing the bull by the horns, the camera by the lens. Yeah. He's going to do what he's going to do. That's just a fact.
As soon as I walked in, Brandon goes, "Don't touch my cameras." What's awesome is I had no idea they were going to go live on the Blitz. So the fact that we were leading up to the Blitz and I covered them, I think made the panic.
The
freakout
level
higher.
Was definitely at an all-time high. I've never seen his face like
that.
He
was livid.
Yeah, and I remember I said yesterday, I don't think they're going to notice for a while, but it really didn't take that long.
Not even one segment.
No, it took a segment. End of the segment.
I saw him
I covered
there with
him
Nick,
going
and I'm
in.
Like, why is Brandon in there for that long?
There's something there for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to get used to this, but yeah, you can go to ESPN 97.5, and then I'm going to log in. You'll be able to chat with us live. I'll be chatting from that chat window as well. So I'll still be checking your texts. I'll still be tweeting, but I'll chat with you guys as well if you want to watch live.
So you really like this angle, right?
Hate this angle.
Okay. So we'll be leaving it at this angle for the entire show.
Okay. All right.
See how we do it in the family? That's how we do it right there.
Okay. Remember that. I'm going to remember that. That's all. I got you.
That's
fine.
It?
Yep.
You're sure that's everything?
I'm sure.
Okay. All right.
Did you send me the password? Come on, bro.
It's on the rundown.
Oh, I didn't check that.
I did want to throw out there, too,
yes,
that I think it's now from a rotational standpoint because Charlie Morton had a no-no going for quite a while. He only gave up two hits, one unfortunate run. But overall, when you look at what he's been able to do and the numbers that he's been able to put up, he's part of a rotation that if they can keep this up through the course of an entire season, it's going to be record-setting, and there's just no way around it. But when you look at their after six turns in the rotation, Verlander's 4-0 with a 1.36 and 48 Ks. McCullers 4-1 with 44 Ks and a 371. Gerrit Cole 2-1, and we said he could have two more easily, a 1.73 ERA and 61 Ks to lead Major League Baseball. And Charlie Morton 4-0 with a 1.72 and 45 Ks. The only, and I wouldn't even say it's that bad, but Keuchel is the only one without a winning record, 1-4, 4.0 ERA, 28 Ks, 36 innings.
So what you're saying is it's pretty good.
I'm saying it is on pace to be a record-setting rotation. And I heard Granato say the 73 Orioles, because they had, I guess, four 20-game winners. You know, that's a little bit before our time. I'm thinking more along the lines of the Phillies rotations that had Doc Holliday and Curt Schilling and guys like that. I think the Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling rotation was good. But I think the depth of this rotation, as you've mentioned in the past too, when you get down to 4 and 5 and those guys are doing what they're doing and dealing like Charlie Morton was dealing last night, that's what makes them special.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And the fact that you've got McHugh and Peacock in the bullpen, because there's going to be injuries to this rotation. I mean, we can all agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
These guys are going to get banged up. It's a long season. They've made it through a month relatively healthy. There's going to be problems. There's going to be injuries. So you've got guys in the bullpen that are going to be able to help out. So it is a great problem to have.
Yeah, no question about it. And look, the offense is picking up, and we kind of touched on it yesterday in terms of lately what they've been able to do. So it's a good time to get hot because the competition has bumped up a notch. You had the Angels in this homestand. You got the Yankees now. So it's a good time to see like a barometer and where you're at. Yeah, it's only April and early May. But look, it is the Yankees and it is your divisional opponents that are coming through. So there's no time like the present to step up and do what you need to do.
Word. Hey, so I'm in the stream in the chat now. We're just in there as the usual suspects. So I'll be able to chit-chat. 58 people are streaming.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. 58 people looking at you. You,
why? Because you did that purposely. I hate wearing the glass. There's nothing I can do because I can't see without
it. I want to give a shout-out because you got to check out the, shirt.
Yeah.
It's dope.
Running Game.
Running Game Clothing. Shout out to Running Game Clothing for the shirt.
Yep.
It says Dome, Home Sweet Dome.
At least you can read upside down. It says Dome Sweet Home. Something like that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's backwards.
You get the point.
But I appreciate them sending over the swag, man. That was very cool of them.
Yep. Matt Jackson.
Huh?
Matt Jackson's sister.
Is it?
Yeah, Matt Jackson's sister is doing a lot of the marketing for Running Game, so we appreciate Sarah. And
yes, thank you,
keep
Sarah.
Keep them coming. We'll
thank
keep wearing
you, Sarah.
Them.
Yeah, there you go. Sure.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We're only a half hour into the three-hour extravaganza. It's the Big Show. It is the usual suspects. And, of course, like we say, we like you to participate. So give us a call, give us a text, give us a tweet, and we'll be sure to try and respond accordingly. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, and or Twitter. You know the handles, and if you don't, you can just put our names in and they'll pop up. We'll be back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Knee deep in the hour number one portion of the show. We talked a little Astros as we got settled on in. The Rockets play tomorrow night against the Boston Celtics. Game last night, I'm not going to lie, surprised the hell out of me. I thought Boston had completely, for lack of a better term, shot their shot against the Bucks. And then with the absence of Jaylen Brown, who's out with a hamstring tweak, that they would not have enough, the Celtics, even with home court advantage, to stay with the Sixers. But boy, oh boy, was I wrong. That was an impressive performance. And boys, let me just say this. If there's one guy that's in this entire playoffs, and we've talked about how Anthony Davis might be the MVP of the playoffs so far, but if there's one guy that has made himself a whole lot of money and created a stardom watch, it's Terry Rozier. This dude...
Man, oh man.
Wow. I mean, it's hard to say anybody would make you forget Kyrie Irving, but the fact that this team's playoff run was an afterthought because of Hayward and Irving being out, and this guy has just basically stepped up and said, no stage too big, no moment too big, I'm taking charge, and he has.
Last night, watching that game was impressive for a lot of reasons. Al Horford,
yep,
out there holding his own. Like you said, Rozier out there just shooting out of his mind. But those are guys that are role players. These aren't superstars that are carrying a team. They shouldn't be anyways. But they played like it. And I'm watching that game and I'm thinking there's no way going up against the Sixers and all the talent they have on that side of the ball. Brad Stevens is a freaking genius.
Oh, he's a great coach.
The dude is, to me, I mean, like the job that he's doing with the guys that he's missing, it's just, it's ridiculous. I fully expected the Celtics to get run off the floor last night just based on the fact that even with Brown being out, I'm just like, this isn't going to be even competitive.
Because you think about it, you think, when's it going to stop? I mean, this team keeps doing it and finding a way to get it done. They're like the Swiss Army knife of role players stepping up. But when you lose Brown, who had a couple of 30-plus point games in the Milwaukee series on top of losing the other two guys for the year, how much more can they endure without you saying, look, they just ran out of bullets. They just don't have enough guys to bring the weaponry necessary to keep fighting this late in the playoffs as the competition goes up. But now it's Philly that's got to make changes. Philly's got to have a wake-up call. Philly's got to shoot the three better. I like the fact that at least Embiid has stepped up and said, look, it's on us, and we've got to do more. But from a Boston perspective, you can't stop giving props to the role players and the way they've played.
No, and I mean, they went up. It was they never looked back. I think it was tied 33-33, and they go up by two and never looked back. Never lost the lead after that. There were moments where you thought, oh, okay, here comes the run by the Celtics, but... I mean, they did everything they were supposed to do. When they needed a big shot, they got a big shot. I was impressed with the fact that they had Rozier, Tatum, and Horford all scoring almost 30. I mean, Horford had 26, Tatum 28, Rozier 29. And the fact that these guys were able to beat the Sixers, who were probably the hottest team in the East, no doubt, going into that, and one of the hottest teams in the playoffs. I don't know. I just, you can't, you can talk about all those players all you want in Horford and Rozier, but it all starts and ends with that coach. That dude is ridiculous.
And one thing I like about him, too, when you watch the press conferences, and Nick, I don't know if you caught him in any of these deals, but he's one of the guys that goes back to what we said in the first segment. He's not going to give you too much. You know, he's not going to tell you what adjustments he made. He's not going to tell you, you know, defensively, this is what we see that we think we can stop Philly with. He does the media, but he never says too much. But you know, behind closed doors, nothing's going to slide by that guy. He is one of the best up and coming young coaches in this league for a reason. And there's a reason why his Butler teams overachieved with an underdog mentality and did the things they did in the NCAAs too. He gets it. And the biggest thing for him, and Nick, we talked about this on the show, the SB Nation show too, it's a different dynamic when you talk about the pro game, because most of the players make more money than the head coach. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to get that respect, tough to get those guys in the locker room to follow you. But man, oh man, he's all boxes checked. He gets it done.
And there's a very easy way to, you just give generic answers. Like if they ask you, hey, what adjustments you have to make? Well, we got to play defense harder. We got to run up the floor harder. We have to have more energy, spread the floor. I mean, there's a bunch of generic answers you can give without revealing the real adjustments, the juice of the adjustments that you've made. So, and Mike D'Antoni does it all the time as well. And I feel like when he does give you a bone, it's literally, that's what it is. He's just, he's throwing you a bone, and he did it intentionally when he's giving you something outside the ordinary. But for the most part, they're going to give you generic answers. I think it's something you have to learn, though. Like, rookies have to learn that.
Van Gundy was the guy that did it more than anybody that I've ever been around. He used the media and hoped that the message got through to his players. Like, he would send subliminal messages through his quotes to the media, hoping his players
would get it,
either get it directly by hearing it, seeing it, or reading it, or that the media would then go to their locker and say, Coach Van Gundy said this. Because he wasn't a big confrontation guy, but that was the way he delivered messages.
That doesn't surprise me either with Van Gundy. He doesn't seem like a guy that's going to get in your face and scream. Or
he'll do that to the media.
Even then, he really wasn't that guy, though. I mean, he was pretty subdued most of the time. I always felt like he needed a nap. Every time you heard Van Gundy in an interview, you're like, yo, this dude needs some sleep.
Well, and you know what they say, besides caffeine, the way to stay awake longer is you take your shoes off. Like when they say you're driving and you're getting drowsy, drive with your shoes off because the receptors it stimulates the bottom of your feet.
I never heard that in my life.
And it keeps you awake. Well, that's why Lance and Jeff Van Gundy get along so well, because neither of them believe in shoes. Because when Van Gundy was the coach of the Rockets, he walked everywhere in socks, except for the practice court. Yeah, and Lance does the same thing. So there's a reason why those guys are buddies. But different dude. Love him as a broadcaster, but as a coach, he was so dialed in and intense that it had a lot of people, some people scared, and other people intimidated by the way, you know, he went about his daily grind.
I mean, it was an impressive game with the Sixers and the Celtics, but I don't see the Celtics winning the series.
I don't either.
I don't see how they're going to be able to do that. I think they're just outmatched. Even when they get Brown back, which he might be back for game two, it's going to be difficult for them to maintain this. I mean, they're going to on the road. I think the Sixers are going to be fine once they get home. All the Sixers have to do is just win one. It won't surprise me if they win the next one, to be honest with you. There's so much talent on that side of the ball. Yeah, but I'm saying there's so much talent on that side of the ball in Philadelphia. I won't be surprised if they come out and win game two. I really won't. I was more surprised.
And you still think Philly will win the series?
Yeah.
Home court may be a big thing in this series because without it, I would give Boston less of a chance. But the way they played last night and the fact that if there is a game seven, again, it's going to be on their floor, I think home court could play a little bit of a factor in this series. As much as I'm with you, I think Philly prevails at the end of the day. Okay. And when I saw the way that the playoff bracket stacked up, I was like, oh, Philly's going to walk through the second round and be set up for the Eastern Conference Finals. And maybe they might, I mean, completely off base, that might be a very deep series that goes a long way.
Yeah. So, I mean, it won't surprise me if this series goes seven, but I don't think it does. If I were to pick beforehand, I'd say like Philly in six, and I'd probably stick with that still.
Okay. All right. Let's get Lawrence in here real quick. You want to talk about Terry Rozier? Okay. Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? Kyrie Irving probably was a blessing him going down because nobody really knew how good he was. You know, until Kyrie Irving went down. And I'm asking you a question. What you think his stock going to be next year? Because, you know, they both can't play point guard, so what's going to happen next year? I'll hang up and listen.
So, Barry, if you want to take any part of that at any time, just jump in. No, I'm serious. My big thing is that the Celtics have built Rozier to be a shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's proven that he can do that based on the way he's shooting the three. I don't know if consistently through an NBA season he's coming off screens and doing what a shooting guard has to do, but he's proven he needs to be on the floor. And again, it's kind of like Harden and Paul being brought together for the first time. Can they coexist? People are going to have their doubts. People are going to criticize. But so far, so good in terms of the talent portion of the program. They've got plenty of talent. It's just can they coexist on the floor at the same time, or do you have to space them? That's going to be a big thing. And a kudos to Danny Ainge, because for all the teams that we talk about that can't get the draft right, Terry Rozier was a middle first-round pick. Jaylen Brown was a guy everybody went, who? And those two guys, along with a guy that was where everybody thought he would be, but again, Tatum was a guy that everybody had as the third best player in that draft behind Ball and Fultz. Danny Ainge traded down to three because he knew that he would still get the best player in his mind in the draft, and he could get picks in the future. That worked out beautifully, too. as much as there's a lot of hate for Danny Ainge in this city, Danny Ainge gets credit for the way he's drafted.
He should. I mean, they've done a hell of a job over there. As far as Rozier, like his status for the next year and beyond, Lawrence, he's under contract for at least the next 2 years, and then they can make a qualifying offer in 2019-2020. What's wrong with having that kind of depth? If you've got him under contract, why would you run him out of town right now? I mean, obviously, if Kyrie can't stay healthy, you need him to play point guard. There's nothing wrong with having that kind of point guard coming off the bench.
Yeah, and I mean,
these guys aren't going to play that much anyways, and you could go the route that the Rockets do, where at some point you could have Harden and Paul on the floor. Why not have Kyrie Irving and Rozier on the floor at the same time?
And Danny Ainge has already been on record saying that Kyrie has to manage his knees for the rest of his career.
True. So,
and to me, that is just such a telling quote.
The only
he knows
thing
something.
That changes yeah. it and screws it up is if Rozier, who doesn't seem like he's that guy, gets vocal and emotional and starts pushing for a trade, wants out, wants to be able to blossom somewhere else, kind of like Kyrie did in Cleveland.
Well, I mean, he can push for a trade, but he's under contract for at least the next couple of years. So
there you got it. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you guys want to talk some hoops, Marcus does. He wants to talk about the Celtics, so we'll get him after the break. And if you want to join the show and line up right after Marcus to get in on the phone lines or text 713-780-3776, HRNP Lister line, or you can hit us up on Twitter. I do want to tell you right now about the good people at Greater Texan Health. We know that there's ads all over the city and reaching out to men and asking if they're suffering from ED. Well, if you've taken the pills and you haven't seen the results, there are solutions for you. ED is an issue men deal with, and friends at Greater Texan Health can help you. Greater Texan Health is going to meet you in person, put you together with a customized plan that helps you end ED today. Right now, they're offering a free confidential exam and testing. That's free. That means no charge to you. You get a free consultation, a free exam, and free testing just by showing up and making an appointment. All you do is call them, set up the appointment, they do the rest, and their state-of-the-art clinic is conveniently located for everyone in the burbs and the city. It's on South Main, right over by NRG Stadium, and they'll take care of you. They are professionals in every sense of the word, and their recommendations are going to be great. But if they don't work for you, you receive a full refund, so what do you have to lose? The consultation and the exams are free. If the recommendations don't work, you get a full refund. It seems like a win-win, if you ask me. Call them today. Set up an appointment. Free exam and testing. 713-554-4915. 713-554-4915. And if you're interested in low T testing, they not only do the test for you, but they get the results right there on site. So you don't have to wait days to get your results. You get them in 30 minutes. That's just how they do it at Greater Texan Health. So check them out at greatertexanhealth.com or give them a call. 713-554-4915 and set up an appointment. Greater Texan Health. Once a Texan, always a Texan.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Hour one of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects with Barry, Nick, and Joel. As we've been talking a little hoop, we talked a little Astros. We could talk more baseball if you'd like as well. But we were on the Celtics. We were talking about just, I guess it's fair to say they're still overachieving, even though they're the one seed.
Definitely overachieving.
Because of the injuries. Marcus wants to get in here and get his opinion heard on the Celtics. What's up, Marcus?
Yeah, what up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, real quick, man, got a couple things. I'm going to let y'all respond at the first one. First thing, so all greatness, I mean, as great as Greg Popovich is, I think he's the greatest coach of all time, at least top three, guaranteed. What the Boston Celtics coach is doing, and he's blanking my name right now, but
Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens, thank you. What he's doing right now is like, man, this dude has literally lost the top 15 players and one top, what his guard, I mean, Brown was a really good player for his team, and he still won by 15 to 17 points over the Sixers, who I think is probably going to come out of the East as well. Remember, I don't know if it was you guys or another show on your guys' station was doing, if y'all was to draft your players, you know, top whatever, when will you start drafting a coach? And I think they were saying that they would get to around 24. I think Brad Stevens got to jump Popovich, and I think he would probably be within a top 15, even including players, of who I would draft. Because his system, when I watch a coach, when I think of how great a coach is when the system is good, is because of their offense, the way they move the ball, and, you know, it's not like a one-player system where they just penetrate and dish, that kind of stuff. And also how well they play defense, how well they rotate, how well they play transitional defense. That's like what makes me think a coach is really good. And you can see it in every instance when those guys play. He's incredible.
Hey, appreciate the call, Marcus. Yeah, look, here's the thing. We looked at each other when he said, I believe I would draft Brad Stevens over Pop. And I think initial reaction is to go, well, that's just crazy. That's just nuts. But here's food for thought on that. Pop has had superstars guiding his teams every year until now. And this year didn't go all that well.
Well, he was supposed to, right, but due to injury and other things.
He didn't have a super. He had LaMarcus Aldridge, who is a good player. He's not a superstar anymore. He was on that path, but I wouldn't say he's necessarily a superstar like Kawhi Leonard is. But Brad Stevens also facing some adversity, doesn't have his superstar, and is doing just fine. And I think you have to consider that when you look or are looking at that. Would I draft Pop first? Probably. I would take Pop over Brad Stevens. But Brad Stevens it would be 1A, 1B.
Yeah, here's what I would say, okay, because we've got tweets on this too, and a lot of people chiming in that Stevens would trump Pop, and Stevens would be this, and Stevens would be that. We all know it's a what have you done for me lately league. It's media, social media, whatever you say. Let's not forget, just because of the down year that you're talking about with Greg Popovich, how great his accomplishments have been over time. I'm saying that to say this. Brad Stevens is doing one hell of a job. And in young, up-and-coming coaches, he is number one. But let's not be quick to have him trump the overall career accomplishments of a guy like Greg Popovich, because we all know you can have all the talent in the world. If you can't mesh them together, i.e. Oklahoma City, you got issues, and you're not going to win on a consistent basis, a series, let alone a championship. So that's what I would say on that to add to what you've said. I believe in Brad Stevens. I think he's a hell of a coach. I'm not going to be as quick to trump him over Greg Popovich because of the achievements and accomplishments of Pop over time.
I'm with you. I agree, but I still think it's interesting to see how good or bad a coach is when there's no superstars. And I'm not just talking about Pop. I'm talking about in general. It is a player-driven league. I mean, you look at what Phil Jackson did, and Phil Jackson was held in very high regard. But also look at the players that Phil Jackson had with him.
You beat me to it, because I was just going to say
all the time,
where do you put him? Because Red Auerbach, of all people, whose records Phil Jackson broke, was the first guy to say, I groomed, drafted, and brought in all of my own players. I did not do a Phil Jackson. I did not wait until Michael and Scottie started to bloom to take over the Bulls. Kobe, I did not wait for Kobe and Shaq, and then Gary Payton and Karl Malone and Robert Horry and all the different guys that made the Lakers great. He sat and he picked his spots, and he waited until the right time with the right players were in place of superstar status, and then he achieved great things. So you can do things a different way, because, again, you still have to mesh that talent around. And look, for all intents and purposes, the championship that they let get away against the Pistons, they said the Lakers were so dysfunctionally a mess. You could hear them screaming at each other before, during, and after games in the locker room. And Phil at least got them to the point where they got to the title. They just didn't win it. But overall, there's something to be said about the fact that, look, you don't pick the groceries in some cases when you put it on the floor and you can pick what meal you're going to make. But when you get in the kitchen and you already got that filet mignon sitting there with that kind of, you know, side dish and side plate. Look, Phil's a hell of a coach, but Phil basically had a lot of the pomp and circumstance, the difficult times taken out of it by already joining teams instead of bringing them together when they didn't have that kind of status yet.
And let's not forget the fact that Phil, when he went to New York and had control, mm-hmm. and they still kind of ran a triangle a little yep. bit, But when he was picking the players and running things and not necessarily coaching, they were horrible.
Awful.
They were all so again, you know, I feel like in the NBA, more so than in maybe football or even baseball, but in the NBA, man, if you've got good players, if you've got superstars, look at Bill Fitch. I know that's a weird one.
Wow.
But when Bill Fitch had superstars, he was great. He was a 500 coach for his career. But when he had stars on his team, with the Rockets, for example, what he had was he the Twin Towers?
He had Moses.
Yeah.
I think he had Moses and Murph.
Well, but yeah, so he had
Rudy and.
I mean, he did well when he had those kind of players. But overall, if you look at his career, his numbers were bleh. Because without superstars, he was just an average dude out there. To me, that's what makes Brad Stevens so special right now is they do have talent. They just haven't had it all year. And you don't see a drop-off. You didn't see – if you didn't know any better, if that was your first NBA game, you'd be like, man, these Celtics are loaded with talent. No, they're not. They're really not.
Loaded with role players, which are talented, but not those step-up kind of players because of the injuries and otherwise. I think the greatest thing about Bill Fitch was when he did have those superstar-laden teams, mm-hmm. and McHale will tell you this, he got them to do two-a-days with 3.5-hour practices full of running on top of scrimmaging.
Really?
That would never fly today.
No, hell no.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he was 83-88 with the Rockets.
Okay.
So I was trying to see.
That
was the 86 Celtics.
81 and
Rockets,
86
right?
were the, 86 the Rockets' the year, appearances in the finals.
Right.
So
he missed the 81, so he was there for the 86, which was the Twin Towers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that helps, obviously.
And then the other cool thing to throw into the equation you guys can contemplate as we head to break, does Steve Kerr not get enough credit because he did the Phil Jackson? Because of the two choices, he didn't choose New York, he chose Golden State. So he already walked into a situation with talented players, but he took them from a roadblock where they couldn't get by a certain level in the playoffs, and he got them to the championship.
You want my answer now? Or you want
no, to... I want you to tease it and hold it till we get back.
All right,
so we'll talk about that in hour number two. We can talk about something that's on your mind you want to get through. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, tweet. Hour number two is right around the corner, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.